Okay, Rav Benny, I think we can start. It's 12:15 Boker Tov, everybody. Tzaraim Tovim, Erev Tov, depending on where you may be. Welcome to part 14 of our 30-part series in Sefer Tlima. Pleasure to see everybody. And okay, Dr. Benny, we look forward. Vakasha, it's all yours.
Good evening, everybody. Pleasure to start lecture number 14, which is actually a continuation of the lecture we had a week ago. It's on the Asaf. Asaf are a very, very challenging unit of 12 Mizmorim, very interesting. They have their own world, they have their own philosophy, their own language, and they are built in an outstanding structure. It's only, I think, the Parshanut actually, the contextual interpretation, who shows wonderful, amazing insights to the world of these Mizmorim and the structure. And I think they have a wonderful message. I have a lot of material, as you see here in the green box, which I try always to start from below the text and going up and to get an overall general view. That will not be possible that I can read these 12 Mizmorim. We looked at some of them. So what I plan to do is to give you an overview. And I actually want to play today one of the Asaf singers. That's a challenge. It's a challenge to understand all these Mizmorim. And I think with a personal account, I'm trying, you will tell me afterwards in your feedback what you think about it. It gives a personal impression and a personal experience, which is really, I'm trying to be authentic. It's an interesting challenge. I want to show during the course also connections to Eicha and connections to Yeshayahu and to, when I tell the personal story, as you will see, to point out their philosophy. They have a very special way of thinking, and the way they present it is very unique to them. As an introductory note, I want to talk about the concept which Chazal understood very well. It's called Gzera Shava in Chazal. You have one word here and the other word there. And the Gemara says sometimes Gzera Shava is not that the rabbis learned it somewhere. It is a Gilui Milta. It explains a term which you would not understand if you wouldn't have two places where it appears. I would like to talk to start with an example about mitzvat maror for Pesach. The mitzvah to eat maror is of course known because the slavery in Egypt, that it says in Shmot, Perek Aleph, the slavery was very bitter. Vayemaru et chayehem, and therefore they have to eat maror. But this same term maror appears in the Bible in Shmot and in Bereishit only twice. That is at the beginning of Shmot, at the very end of the first book. It says about Yosef, when Yaakov gave the blessing, Yaakov blessed his son Yosef, and he tells him, your siblings, vayemarehu varovu, vayistamehu ba'alei chetzim. Your siblings have made your life very bitter. So here we have a very beautiful insight. It's not that the Egyptians started slavery just because they were bad people. Yes, that's true. But the Bible gives an explanation. It was the hatred between the siblings which caused that Yosef was sold to Egypt, and therefore they were in the slavery of Egypt. So you see that one word tells a full story. We have to read these three words. We have to put them together. We have to understand the stories and the context of each place in order to afterwards put them together and see a longitudinal story about this term. We start now with this overview of the entire book, and I want to talk about three collections related to Asaf. One is the single Mizmor in the second book, and we learned this Mizmor. It is the opening Mizmor for King David's change in his life. Right after Asaf, first collection, which is actually only one Mizmor, Mizmor 50, we learn about King David, who changed his life based on his sin. Afterwards, the second book is closed in chapter 72, and we start with the second collection of King David, of a second collection of Asaf, which starts with 73 to 83, after King David's term. King David's collection. At the end of the third book, we hear about the destruction, and we will read how the third book closes with the end of the kingdom of David. a very tragic end. And we spoke last week about the doxology, the Chatima. And afterwards, when the destruction is described, is the big turning point of the book between 89 and 90. And we hear several times afterwards, Asaf are quoted, not with their name, but I want to call that the third Asaf collection, which is not dedicated anymore to Asaf. But we know that these are Asaf Mizmorim because they are mentioned as such in Divrei Hayamim, in the books of Chronicles. So Asaf wants to show up at three different stages, which we will explain later on. It's from Asaf that we have the Pasuk, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Lolam Chasdo, the thanksgiving to Hashem. That is our slide where we put all these units together. In the middle, David's second collection, before and afterwards Asaf, before and afterwards Korach. And we see how Asaf is the introduction, is like the twin with 51, and continues afterwards. If we see all of them together, we understand the orchestra, which I will try to elaborate today a little bit and next week in more detail. Asaf in two steps. What I want to do now is to show that Asaf appear once before King David's kingdom in 50, and they appear the second time right after King David's kingdom at the end of the second book. Asaf are stimulating for King David to make a change in his life in chapter 50, followed by 51 to 72. And after King David is not active anymore, actively historically, Kalut Filot David Ben Ishai, Asaf continues to talk in the third book and in the fourth book. Now I would like to show that to you, and I will present as one of the Asaf Mizmorim, as one of the Asaf singers. And as I told you, we're not in the kindergarten, but I think it is a very, very interesting experience to talk as King David and to present as King David, and therefore allow me to talk to you in the first person, and I will have my famous dress of King David, of Asaf, in order to talk in the first language. Just a moment, please. I'm not sure if you can see that. It's my great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to present you the wisdom of Asaf. I'm a close friend of King David. King David dresses the way we dress. We singers in the temple, you see the red beard. We have a special dress of singers. Our dress shows the kingdom of Yerushalayim. Here we have the stones of Yerushalayim and we have the songs of Yerushalayim. That's our dress. With this dress and in mind, the kingdom, which is all Yerushalayim, we walk through history. My background comes from Bayit Rishon, the first temple period. As you see here in Divrei HaYamim, we are part of the song of the singers, the Levim, in the Beit HaMikdash. La'asaf, we are dressed together with King David and we sing. My experience is very, very close to King David. And King David, in our spirit, is very much related. We have the same songs, we have the same mind. We appear not only in the first temple period, we appear later on in the second temple period with the same words, with exactly as we pointed out last time, with the same terms. And we remember, as it says in Ezra, the third chapter, we remember exactly the Asaf, what happened in the first temple period. I'm historically not limited to one generation. As it says in the Chronicles, that Asaf were singers there and their sons and their sons, and they had an ongoing tradition which they wanted to present, coming from King David for the future. And that's what we see in Ezra. It says there, a lot of the people who were present when they established the new temple, the second temple, when they saw what's going on, they were screaming, they were crying, because they remembered the past. But it is Asaph who continued to sing. It's the belief of our family tradition, that whatever happened with King David goes on. So how do we transmit this tradition? This transmission from the first temple to the second temple has a very strong connection. On one hand, it is deeply, deeply influenced by Eicha, the destruction. We know exactly what happened the first and the second temple period. There was a huge historical change in the status of Am Yisrael. We lived at the time of the kingdom of King David and his children. That was destroyed. When it was destroyed, there was a terrible catastrophe of the destruction of the first temple, presented in Megillat Eicha. In Eicha, they remember what was once in previous days, Mimei Kedem, and at the end, Eicha says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, renew the days how they were before. That's exactly what Tehillim, we singers in Asaph, you see here from chapter 74 to 80, the word Kedem appears 5 times altogether, not more than double than that, in the entire book. And there is one mizmor, which we will take a look afterwards, which repeats the word Hashiveinu from the end of Eicha 3 times. Only these 4 places have Hashiveinu. It was our message. It is our message of Asaph that whatever happened before in previous generation, we want to reestablish it. We do the Hashiveinu. We live the Hashiveinu. We hope for the Hashiveinu. That's what we do. So this word Hashiveinu is like our motto, our agenda. And here we will not read all these examples, but you see here that our Mizmorim in Tehillim from 50 and 73 to 83, they quote 13 times very clearly Psukim from Eicha. We live the memory of the destruction. We live the memory before the destruction, and we want to renew it. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'neshuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. It is this memory which gives us the power to continue and to apply and to revive these messages, these historical messages of King David for the next generation. Therefore, it makes a lot of sense that the text in the first temple period with King David is reapplied in the second temple period, as you see below in the Pasuk from Ezra. This memory is very powerful to us. In the same token, we have a lot of Psukim, and it's not only quoting the text. You would learn about text in the lecture where you learn just the text. I want to talk to you about the life experience, about the raison d'être. That's the way we live. We have a lot of influence. We have a strong influence in order to continue in the second temple period, what was in the first one, by being inspired by Sefer Yeshayahu. As you see here, a lot of psukim, a lot, have very strong, typical notes and expressions from Yeshayahu. And all the 11 examples here, the 11 examples here, use terms which appear only in the entire Bible, only in Yeshayahu and in Tehillim. Why? Our family tradition is that we remember the past, Eicha, and there is a eulogy about the past, but we have beautiful memories about the past, and we want to continue that in the future. So having this mixed experience described in Ezra, that the old people were crying when they built the Beit HaMikdash, and the others were singing and made music, that is Asaph, as it says here. V'haliyim b'nei Asaph, they were singing when part of the population was screaming and crying, remembering whatever happened between, and others enjoyed looking forward for the next generation. That's exactly what it says in Nehemiah 12. Ki bimei David ve'asaf mikedem. Rashei ha-meshorim v'shir tehila v'hodot le'elohim. We remember the kedem, what happened before. We continue that for the future, both by Eicha and by the hope and by the vision, the messianic vision of Yeshayahu. So you're welcome to read afterwards the psukim, but that is our experience. That's our life philosophy. And now I want to take you through the unit of our 12 mizmorim. One mizmor is in the second book, chapter 50. We'll talk about it later. Here we have 11 mizmorim, which we built in a very, very clear structure. In the middle is chapter 78. Chapter 78 is very long. It's not the longest mizmor in Sefer Tehillim. The longest one is 119, but that is the second longest mizmor with 72 psukim. It's in the very, very middle of the Asaf collection. 5 mizmorim before and 5 mizmorim afterwards. It is in the middle of the, not only of the Asaf, the entire Asaf collection in the third book is in the middle of the entire book of Tehillim. We had a lot of details, awareness for details in the text, philosophically and in the text, in the shaping of the book of Tehillim. And we take that very seriously. Our family are Talmidei Chachamim. We try to learn from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, and from other places, and to integrate these in our way of thinking. So what we see here in the middle, chapter 78 tells the story of the Jewish people. The story of the Jewish people from the past, from Egypt, till the exodus of Egypt, when we came to Eretz Yisrael. And after we came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a destruction of Malchut Yisrael, of the Kingdom of Israel, which happened 722 before the common area. And in between, King David was appointed to continue the Jewish heritage. That is the message that we continue, chapter 78. A wonderful historical, not only a review, it is a message. It is a legacy from history for the future. Just before 78, we have chapter 77 and chapter 79. And we built them in a way that we described before the kingdom of David in chapter 78. We describe in the last pasuk of 77, the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. And that is what you see here. Nachita katzon amecha biyad Moshe ve'Aharon. Hashem, you were leading the Jewish people in the hands of Moshe and Aharon. That was in the past. In chapter 78, we appointed King David after the Malchut, after the kingdom of Israel was destroyed and Malchut Yehuda continues. You appointed David, Yan Nechem, the same words. And in chapter 79, there is a terrible destruction of the kingdom. And they continue. Yes, most people did not recognize, did not identify that these three mizmorim are a unit. Before, during the highlight of King David's generation, and despite that he was destroyed, they continue. We continue to sing. No historical event will change our mind. The past and the future, and the past with Moshe and Aaron, the present with David, and even after his destruction, the future is dictated by the same concept, leadership, and we are the Jewish people. Va'anachnu amcha v'tzon maritecha. We saw that these three are the center part, the centerpiece. They are the turning point of Sefer, of the collection of Asaf. The 5 mizmorim before, or the 4 mizmorim before, and the 4 mizmorim afterwards have a geometrical structure. That's our way of thinking, and that's our way to see history. At the beginning, we are concerned. We eulogize the situation after the destruction in chapter 73. And in the second mizmor, it says, Zechor adatcha kanita kedem. Kuma Elohim, remember your community, your people, which you established in old days, kedem. God, get up and help us and save us. That is the second mizmor from the beginning. The second mizmor from the end has the same term, Kuma Elohim, only twice in the entire Asaf collection, only twice in Tehillim, and actually only twice in the entire Bible. Kuma Elohim, but now we don't talk about the Jewish people anymore. We talk about the entire world, about all the nations. Our belief is that if we have a concern about the destruction of Am Yisrael, if we want to make a change in the future, it has to include the entire world. Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, and kuma Elohim shofata ha'aretz, ki ata tinchal b'chol ha'goyim. You will make a change with all the nations. That's a very meaningful structure from the second mizmor from the beginning of Asaf to the second mizmor from the end of Asaf. Furthermore, in the middle here, Hashem talks in 75 and in 81. Which are really built symmetrically. He talks in another language and other messages in 75 and in 81. Please take a look there. As we said, in the middle of 78, it says, Hashem, it says, V'hu rachum yechaper avon v'lo yashrit v'hilgal ha-shivapo v'lo yechachamato. God has mercy and he will forgive and he will not destroy us. That's exactly the center of the entire book of Tehillim, as Chazal identified. In chapter 79, after the destruction, we pray, please have mercy and forgive our sins and let us please move on. We want to continue despite all the problems. That's exactly our philosophy. What I want to do now is to take you through some of these mizmorim. And we will not have the opportunity today to read these mizmorim one by one and to understand the world of each unit. I want to give you a very fast overview. And despite that it is very superficial, I do think, I hope, that I can give you an impression by two, three minutes on these nine mizmorim, a few words, and you will see the spirit, the mind of Asaf. We start with chapter 73. In chapter 73, the mizmor starts, Mizmor la'asaf. Ach, tov le'Israel Elohim, levarei levav. Truly, indeed, God is good to Israel, to those pure of heart. But as for me, it's a disaster. And I go on to describe the disaster. At the end, we have exactly the same three words in a symmetrical chiastic order, ABC, CBA. Tov Elohim va'ani, and at the end, va'ani Elohim tov. Va'ani kirvat Elohim li tov. Despite all the destructions, despite the crisis, the experience of a catastrophe of Am Yisrael, I stick to you. I will not give up. We will not forget Hashem. That is exactly a typical feature of Asaf. A very beautiful mizmor, where we try to explain that we stick to Hashem regardless what happens. Interesting, this mizmor appears right after chapter 72, at the end of the second book, which ends with the end of the kingdom of David, Kolut Filot David Ben Yishai. That's the end of King David's era, when he appointed his son to be his follower, his successor. Lishlomo, Elohim Mishpatecha Lemelech Tem. There, King David describes a beautiful future for Am Yisrael. And King David dies. He walks away. It's the end of his biological, historical activity. That's the end. So how is chapter 73 related? It's exactly the opposite. So how can we explain the continuity? That is exactly the message of the contextual interpretation. You see here some words, some of them quite specific, others more regular, but you see there is an intention because they talk about the same theme. Shlomo should continue justice and peace and social sensitivity for the weak people in order to be the praise for the world. 73 describes there is no peace. There is a lack of justice. There is a violation. And we are hurt and we are injured. And there is no continuity. That is chapter 73. So there is a continuity. But the continuity is a contradictory one. Despite that we did not accomplish what King David had in his mind, we continue. That is also a continuity. Let's move on to chapter 75. And there again, we describe the destruction. And it says, Amarti laholelim al taholu, vela rasha'im al tarimu keren. I say to the arrogant ones, deal not arrogantly. Do not raise up a horn. Al tarimu lomarom karnechem, tedabru betzavar atak. And at the end it says, a promise, a hope, v'chol karnei rasha'im agadea, teromamna karnot tzadik. And all the horns of the wicked ones I will cut up, and the horns of the tzaddikim, the righteous, will be raised up. This concept of to raise the horn talks about a broken nation. Where does it come from? L'harim kerim. It's exactly what King David told us in the Chronicles. Kol eile banim leheiman chose ha-melech bedivrei Elohim. L'harim kerim. Asaf v'idutun v'heiman. King David appointed us in the Chronicles that we should continue to take care of the honor, of the respect of Am Yisrael. That's exactly our task from King David. But I'm talking to all the grandmothers in the audience. There is much more than only Asaf at the time of King David in the first temple. It is Chana in Shmuel Aleph, in the second chapter in Shmuel. When she was praying after she got a baby, Shmuel, she said, Rama karmi b'Hashem. And she spoke about the same terms. And she spoke about the king, the vision of the king and of the Mashiach. V'yarem kerem Mashicho. So we are inspired not only by King David. We are inspired by the beginning of Jewish kingdom, which goes back to Shmuel. And Shmuel's kingdom goes back to his mother. The Yiddish mama, the mother Chana, she was praying. What we learn also in the Gemara. Now I want to show you a beautiful example from chapter 77. And we spoke about Malchut Israel and Malchut Yehuda, which were destroyed at a different time. To 722 before, and afterwards it continued when people after the first destruction of Malchut Israel escaped to Yehuda, and there was a feeling and an experience of 130 plus years of we were destroyed by our enemies. And at that time, Asaf, we pray and we have our prayers and we continue despite that it's burning, despite the fact that there is a terrible danger, a life-threatening condition with a bad end, no happy end, but we keep praying. And look what it says here. Very often in the Asaf collection, Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe are mentioned. Because look here, Malchut Israel has Menashe, and Ephraim. Yes, Binyamin is just somewhere in between. But it is defined by the kingdom of Israel, and in the Asaf collection, only in the Asaf, the vast majority of Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim is mentioned in the Asaph collection. I want to read you now, very personally, a few of my psukim of the Asaph collection, which you see here, with the translation. Lamnatzeach al yedutun le'asaph mizmor. Koli el Elohim ve'etzaka. Koli el Elohim ve'ha'azin elai. Ve'yom tzavati Adonai darashti yadi laila migra ve'lo tafug. Me'ana yinachem nafshi. We refuse, my soul refuses to accept any comfort. Why? Eskera Elohim ve'ehemaya asincha ve'titatef ruchi alai. Achasta shmurot enai nif'amti ve'lo adabir. Chishapti yamim mikedem shnot olamim. I think of days in the past, years of long ago. That is our power. Remember your history. Go back to your history, go back to your legacy, and build accordingly the future. As Kerana Ginati, Balaila, I sing long nights. The songs from King David, no temple, no daytime singing, but at night I sing. I have memories, I have dreams. Im levavi asicha vayechapes ruchi. I think, I meditate with my heart. And I search my spirit. My heart searches the spirit. I want to find energy again. Everything is lost. I'm alone. I'm desperate. But I think myself, I remember niginot, music from King David. I talk to my heart and my heart talks to my spirit. That is our philosophy. Self-reflection, meditation, in order to ask the question, that's a quotation from Eicha. Is Eicha really dictating the future of the Jewish people? No, that can't be. We keep hope. Let's take now a look at the term of Me'ana Hinachem. And here you have quite an interesting example of intertextuality. We try to find very deep, very sensitive, but very special connections in the entire Bible. We are connected to the entire Tanakh. The word Me'ana Lehinachem appears only three times in the Bible. Why are we so proud not to accept comfort, to refuse to accept comfort? Because we have two examples. One example is Rachel, and the other example is Yaakov. When the brothers came to Yosef, when the brothers killed Yosef and came to Yaakov, they told him, Yaakov did not want to accept any comfort. He refused because somewhere in his heart he knew it can't be true. He will come to the state where it will say Yosef is still alive. And Rachel, in the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, it says, Rachel mevaka al banea, me'ana lehinachem al banea ki enena. And Yirmiyahu promises her, Stop crying, you will see they will come back. It is the prophecy of Yirmiyahu that Rachel will see her children coming back. Of course, Rachel died in Sefer Breshit, and she was never around when Am Yisrael went to the exile. But it's the same idea, the same way Yaakov did not accept any comfort from the children because he felt something is not true. The same way in Yirmiyahu, Rachel does not accept any comfort and she feels something is wrong. And indeed, Yaakov saw his son later on in Egypt. And indeed, Yirmiyahu says, your children will come back. This experience from Yaakov and Yosef, Yaakov and Rachel, about the family many, many years ago, that's our philosophy. As we saw, as I showed you before in the slide here, we remember chishavti yamim mikedem shnot olamim. We reflect on history, not only on the national level, but on the personal level of Yaakov, of Yosef, of Rachel. The same way they did not accept, refused to accept the comfort, the same way in our times of the destruction of Malchut Israel, where Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim were the main part of Malchut Israel, we refuse to accept comfort because that's the tradition of Yaakov and Rachel, and we hope for a better future. That is a beautiful example by intertextuality. And I'm very happy that Dr. Beat Weber, who quotes that explanation, found that out and explained our Asaf messages. Here, another example, which I will keep short. It says in the same chapter that Bayam Darkecha Ushvilcha B'mayim Rabim, you crossed the ways through the sea, and your path is in the waters. Your footprints left no trace. Who left Egypt? Oh, you took us out from Egypt. It's true. We were in Egypt. We were a slave. We crossed the Yam Suf. No. Asaf, we described that not only we passed Yam Suf, you were there, Hashem. We want to be Va'ani Kirvat Elohim Lito. We are very close with Hashem. If we were in trouble, you were always with us. It's the only place in the Bible where it says that Hashem crossed with Am Yisrael Yam Suf. And that's our philosophy. Despite all the disasters, we know Imo Anochi B'tzara. As we say in the Hoshanot, Kehoshata Ma'amar V'Hotzeti Etchem, Nakuv V'Hotzeti Etchem, Ken Hoshana. Hashem, you are always with us. If we went out of Egypt, you led us out of Egypt, you were there personally with us. That's a very special comment on 77. Now we come to chapter 78 and chapter 77 and 79. We spoke about it last time, but let me review it. That's the turning point. 78 is the longest chapter. The chapter starts, and Chazal already said, that is, Chazal, it's the middle of the entire book for a good reason. It's a very clever comment by Chazal. It begins with a beautiful opening. Ha'azina ami Torati. Listen to my Torah. Listen to all my messages, to my explanations. You should tell the story. My Torah is, you should tell the Tehillah and the Nifla'ot, and you should educate the next generation. Learning is not just to be a professor in the Judaistic studies and to be accomplished as a very experienced scholar. No, Torah is much more. You should praise Hashem. You should educate your children. You should remember your history and build your future accordingly. That is Torah at the beginning of 78. And it ends here that you were leading us through Moshe Aaron in 77 and through David in 78. That is the first, that's the time in Egypt from Eretz Yisrael. That's the kingdom, and 79 is after the Churban. Va'anachlu amcha v'tzon maratecha. Whatever you were in the past, at the time of Moshe v'Aaron, for our Am Yisrael and Tzon, and with King David, for Am Yisrael and Tzon, Yanchem, you will be for us. We continue. That's exactly the turning point of Sefer Tehillim. Moshe in the desert is one period, King David at the time, after the destruction of Malchut Israel, and Am Yisrael after the exile, we continue our destiny, our past continues in the future. And the concept of lesaper tehilatecha as a term appears three times in the Bible. Once at the beginning of 78, once at the end of 79. Here are the two places again, bigger. And one more time in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says, Amzu yatzarti li. That's the nation, says Hashem, which I created for myself. Tehilati esaperu. If that is God's wish in Yeshayahu, it is our commitment and our legacy in Sefer Tehillim. We continue to be those God's nation who continues to tell the praise of Hashem regardless at what time. Let's take now a look at one of the most beautiful observations in the entire structure of Sefer Tehillim. We are just in the middle of our course on Tehillim, and we talk about the Mizmor in the middle. And the Mizmor in the middle starts with Maskil Asaf, Ha'azina Ami Torati, listen to my Torah. And you should tell the story, the praises to all coming generations. his might, ezuzo v'nifla'otav. And if you don't do that, to continue the Torah, it will not have a good end. It will not end in a happy end. Lo shamru brit Elohim uvetorato manu lalechet vayishkeru alilotav v'nifla'otav asher heram. Asaf makes conclusion. That's the way to cope with the disaster. We want to stick to the tradition. The words Torato, here in red, and the words Nifla'otav, in white on blue, and the word Ve'ezuzo, which are at the beginning of 78, it's like a miracle. They appear only here and in two more places in the entire Sefer Tehillim. They talk about learning the Torah and singing the Tehillot in 78. And at the beginning of the entire book of Sefer Tehillim, it says, "Kim betorat Hashem chetzo, uvetorato yehege yomam v'layla." Here's the word betorato, the second verse in Sefer Tehillim at the very, very beginning. Here and in 78. And the word niflota appears at the very beginning of the fifth book, five times only there, and at the very end, almost at the very end, of the fifth book in Ashrei Tehillah LeDavid, Ve'ezuz Noratecha Yomeru. No other place where Ezuz appears in Sefer Tehillim. What does it want to tell us? At the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, we have a person who studies the Torah, chapter 1. Learning, academic learning, but it's more than that. Chapter 78 says, you should listen to the Torah, but you should internalize it. It should be your life. It should be part of you, of your children, and of the coming generations. And at the end, why? Because you should talk about the praise and the miracles, the wonderful works of Hashem. You should really stay connected. That's exactly what 78 wants to tell us. And if you look at here below in the Midrash, that's exactly what the Midrash identified very nicely. To sing the Torah is also the message. It's not just the academic learning of the Torah, chapter 1. The learning has to make an impact on your life, that you continue to sing it, that you reflect it. You got the Torah from Hashem, but you sing the Torah as a mizmor back to Hashem. You stay in touch, despite the fact that the Mikdash is not here. That's a wonderful insight from the few psukim at the beginning of 78, the center of the entire book of Tehillim, which is really the center. There is a movement from learning, academic learning of the Torah, one, to the end, praising Hashem, Hallel. In chapter 78 is the turning point. Here it happens. About chapter 79, I will not elaborate it. We spoke about it last time. I want to make just one point. You see here a lot of analogies in chapter 79, a lot of connections to other psukim. Even if we don't go have the time to look at the details of all these psukim, when the disaster happens, Elohim ba'u goyim benachalatecha, when it happens, what he says here is something very simple. We have a lot of psukim to describe the disaster. We have a lot of religious connections, a lot of thoughts. It didn't happen out of the blue. It's part of the Jewish tradition, and we have to learn how to deal with that on a very broad and deep level of the Torah. And we ask Hashem, help us, because that's the future, v'anachnu amcha, because we want to continue the bottom line of this mizmor, describing the terrible destruction is, v'anachnu amcha v'tzon maritecha, nodelecha leolam, ledor vador, nesaper te'alatecha. We continue forever to tell the story, despite the destruction, because we have such a rich tradition with all the psukim, from Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Dvarim, and you see all the details. We continue them. That is the message. And why? I jump to chapter 80. At the end of Eicha, it says, Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. Chapter 80 is actually a beautiful song taking the word Hashiveinu only here, end of Eicha, and only in this chapter 80, The word Hashiveinu appears in the entire Bible. And in chapter 80, three times. You see here it is structured in a refrain. It continues. Elohim Hashiveinu v'ha'er panecha v'nivashea. Elohim Tzva'ot Hashiveinu v'ha'er panecha v'nivashea. Adonai Elohim Tzva'ot Hashiveinu ha'er panecha v'nivashea. Show your light. Show your face. The galut is darkness. V'machshakim eshivani Hashem. Darkness, as we say in Eicha. Panecha, there was a hastarat panim at the destruction. We want you to take us back. Elohim, Elohim Tzvaot, Hashem Elohim Tzvaot, as you see in verse 5, Hashem Elohim Tzvaot. We pray Hashem, despite that we are in the Elohim collection, with all the names we know by Hashem. Ad matai yashanta b'tfilat amecha. We keep praying. How long are you angry? Bring us back. Remember old days. That is our tradition. That is our belief system. Chapter 81 is a very fascinating one. It describes in chapter 71, it describes that Hashem gave us the Torah. We can call him, Batsara karata va'achalzeka, e'enecha b'seta ra'am. God promises us, if you call me even in the terrible situation of the Galut, if you call me, I will save you. But what? Shma ami ve'aidabach. Listen, my Am Yisrael. That's the testimony. Yisrael im tishmali. Don't worship other gods. Anochi Adonai Elohecha amalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm God who took you out of Egypt. A quotation of the Decalogue, the Aseret HaDvarim. But v'lo shama ami lekoli. Lu ami shomea li, would they listen? It would be totally different. Please listen and follow. That's our message. Stick to the tradition, even in this situation. Even if you call me, if you just call me, I'm here to help you. These messages are really the same as we had in chapter 50. And we call that Asaf 1. Before King David, chapter 50, was the opening for King David's life. Based on chapter 50, King David made a change in his life in chapter 51 to 72. First Asaf collection, as we see here. The same is true in the second Asaf collection after King David's life. That is true not only from 50 to the second collection of David. It's true for our life, we continue in King David's way. So what do we have here? We have the same concept of the Decalogue in chapter 50, in chapter 81. You see it here with the symbol of the Aseret HaDvarim. We have the same word in Asaf, number 1, chapter 50. Ukra'eni b'yom tzara, call me when you're in trouble. Achal letzacha utechabdeini, call me, I will save you. And you will honor me, Hashem promises. That the same pasuk is repeated, almost the same three words, only here in chapter 81. In chapter 91, at the very beginning of the fourth book, Hashem says, please, now it's the time of the Geula. Yikra'eini ve'e'eneu imo anochi v'tzara. If Am Yisrael, Hashem says, if they just call me, I will always be with you. I will continue with you. Achaletzehu, and I will honor him. Please pay attention to a beautiful difference. In chapter 50, we have Yikra'eni tzara achaletzecha, utechabdeinu, Am Yisrael should honor Hashem. Here, in chapter 91, it is Hashem will honor Am Yisrael if you come back. There is a friendship. We believe in this strong connection. Imo anochi betzara, instead that we have to honor Hashem, as it says in chapter 50. Chapter 91 says, Hashem will honor us if we come back to him. There is a strong connection between Am Yisrael and Hashem. So that's the flow of these mizmorim. We come always to the last chapter. We have two more chapters to discuss very briefly, and I will keep that short. In chapter 82, there is a very interesting international or a multi-religious description Hashem stays with all other gods. We don't believe in the polytheism. Hashem is one. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But we know that many other nations believe in many gods, but he's only one. It's actually the term Elohim is a plural of many gods used in the Bible always in the singular. Bereshit bara Elohim. God, one, created the world. But other people think there are many gods of night and day, of sun and darkness. It's only one. Elohim nitzav ba'adat el. And he's going to make justice with all other nations, all other cultures, all other religions. And he says, justice, ad matay tishpetu avel. And he talks to all the nations and says at the end, Kum Elohim shofeta ha'aretz. God, get up, please. Make justice with the entire universe. Ki ata timchal b'chol agayim. You will make justice to all nations. This mizmor, on a very international, universal level, is a relecture, a new reading of chapter 74. Zechor adatcha, at the very beginning, pasuk, second pasuk, remember your congregation, your people, which you had from the past, Am Yisrael, 74. Adatcha is used in 82, Adat El, the God of the international pantheon of all religious, Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El. We talk about Bekerev, it's used here, Admatai, Admatai. And we talk about Aniv Evyon, the poor one, the suppressed ones. And we say at the end, Kuma Elohim Riva Rivi Zechor Chapat of Am Yisrael, Kuma Elohim make justice to the entire world. That's the shift of chapter, the first part of Asaf to the second part. We talk at the beginning about about Am Yisrael, the national, the destruction in the past. We build the future, the Tikkun Olam, by addressing all other nations. A very clear structure, symmetrical structure of 74 and 82. The last mizmor, finally, Pei Gimel, has something special. Again, a destruction of the final solution. Amru lechu v'nakhidem migoy v'lo yizacher shem Yisrael od. The nation said, we will destroy them. There will not be a nation anymore, Am Yisrael. And never ever will the name of Israel be mentioned again. But we praise for Hashem at the end. It's not our name which might be destroyed and we might be killed. Yes, it's bad. We are concerned about your name. That is a beautiful comment to chapter 83. And in chapter 83 at the end, I will focus only that despite that we ask for punishment of all these nations, and there are terrible nations who did terrible atrocities to Am Yisrael, and they killed us. But at the end, we ask God, punish them, v'yevakshu shimcha Adonai. They should ask your name. And they will respect that you are the God of the entire universe. There is a concern not only to punish these nations, but all the nations should actually respect Hashem, and they should come to Kabbalat Malchut Hashem in the future. Not only the past of destruction, it's the future of Tikkun HaOlam. And we spoke about the collection of Elohim from chapters 42 to 83. Here exactly it comes to an end. And that is the presentation of Shem Hashem in book one and in book 3, 4, 5, beginning with chapter 84, but from chapter 42 to 83, green, we have Elohim. Asaf, we believe not only that God makes justice to the entire world and will punish the bad nations, we believe that he will build up a very good relationship, a close relationship to Hashem by all the nations. And for that, we, Asaf, we'll have more to tell you in the fifth, in the fourth and fifth book, and in the Korach collection, which we will talk about next time. So far, we summarized by Asaph his entire, all the Mizmorim. That's not the Mizmor where I will continue as Asaph. As Asaph, I want to thank you for your attention. And please read now the text if you understood my message on a personal level. I hope you will have now a new approach to read these Mizmorim 73 to 83. So far, thank you for your attention. I will say a few more words, not as Asaph. So that is a kind of slide, which for me in my studies, I worked on that a lot of time by reading over and over and checking in the computer. That's the way you can identify the book. If you write to read and you like these analogies, I might have dried out your mind what I have presented this slide to you during the shiur. So I wanted to give it a personal idea by Asaph. But if you take that and print it out and read through all the psukim in their context and see how the same word appears twice, I think you will, without any comment, you will understand how beautifully the narrative of Asaph, of King David before and afterwards, comes through. So I leave that with you. And I summarize that we saw the historical background between the second temple period. They insist on the continuity from the first to the second temple period, strongly influenced by Echa, but strongly inspired by the hope of Yeshayahu. And they have really a story to tell, not only their story, but their philosophy, their legacy. Keep singing the song of King David in every generation you come. That is the summary of Asaph in the second book, who had an impact on King David's life, and Asaph in the third book, who will have an impact for the future of Am Yisrael in the same way it had it for King David. We will have one more lecture next week, Bezrat Hashem, lecture 15, where we should focus on the second unit, collection of Bnei Korach, from 84 to 88. We will read chapter 85, and I cannot really recommend you to read chapter 89, because even Ezra said that there was a famous rabbi who didn't like chapter 89. But I still want to encourage you, it's a long chapter, to read it and to understand why it is so hard to read this Mizmor. We will talk about that. Thank you very much for your attention. If there are any comments, I'm happy to hear.
Thank you, Rabbi Benny, Rav Asaph, for your help, for your in explaining this. And the chats really were basically thanking you for these explanations. And there is one question from Zamira. When and by whom do you believe were these texts arranged in this deep and complex way?
So thank you. That's a good question. I'm not sure I can give you a clear answer, but I will try to give an answer. I think they're obviously described. Oh, I was told I should stop share the screen for my costume. So I will do that. I didn't see my entire, okay. So I think that in the first temple period, I'm not that sure historically if they really lived in the first temple period that actively with King David, as it is described in Sefer Tehillim. I'm not sure about that, because in Divrei Hayamim, where Divrei Hayamim talks about the history of the first temple period, and Divrei Hayamim was written in the beginning of the second temple period, it makes a lot of sense that Asaph were very active in the second temple period at the beginning when they spoke about their past, which was not described in that much detail in the first temple period. However, as we learned from Yirmiyahu talking about Rachel Imenu, Rachel Imenu never showed up at the time of Yirmiyahu, but he activates her. So I think these questions are very clear historical identification of Asaf, we will not find the solution. What Asaf wanted to do is we continue to live every generation. And we will see in Asaf, the third collection, which appears in the chapters in the fourth and fifth book, they are not named anymore Asaf. Why? Because they wanted to disconnect their messages and their spirit of encouragement, of continuity. It's not because of Asaf said it, because they wanted it to be disconnected from their personal message. It's a message for Am Yisrael. So I think to try to identify them will A, not find a solution, and B, they don't want to find a solution. They want to be ahistorical. It might not be an answer to your questions, but I think it reflects the best way what Asaf wanted to be.
Okay. We have two more questions, if that's okay. One is from Ilana Lubin. She says, on the introductory note, Miriam's name is appropriate because she is sort of a tikkun for the sibling rivalry in Sefer Bereishit. I'm not really sure I understand. Ilana, do you want to get online? Are you still here? I don't know if Ilana is still here. Okay, maybe we can ask her to explain that another time. Yeah, she's still here, but share her video and, oh, here. The mar of the way the brothers dealt with Yosef is reflected in Miriam's name. That's her answer to her question. That's her explanation to her question. The mar of the way the brothers dealt with Yosef is reflected in Miriam's name. That's how it's a tikkun for the sibling rivalry in Bereishit. Do you agree?
I'm not sure if I understood the question. You mean, you spoke about this explanation here?
I don't know, Ilana, you'll have to type quickly, I think, or tell us. I can,
So that they treated him badly, by Maru Rabu, that, and then Miriam watched her brother and she's that whole thing, she's connected to her brother. So it's just that her name is Miriam, it's the same root.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that. Miriam is Mem Resh Yud Mem. And here we have to stick to the Maror. So there are a lot of interesting ideas how to expand it. I spoke only about the word Maror, Mem Resh Resh. That is, I want to call that not a Midrash. I want to call that a Pshat by the Light Vault, as the Midrash explained that. And actually, in this explanation, which I showed you here, which I think is not only beautiful, me'anahi nachem, to refuse to accept comfort, that is exactly the same term. When I have time, I would show you the search in my computer system. There are many ways where you can search me'anahi nachem. It's exactly one term. You can go by statistics. And you can tell by statistics if somebody says, Me'ana lehinachem, he is or named Yaakov when Yosef was so-called killed. It is Rachel who is crying about her child, or with Asaf who is crying about Malchut Yisrael. So I want to be with these explanations very scientific and to stick to clear rules. It's true. We have many words which remember something, remind something. But I want to encourage you to make a distinction. Maror is strictly Maror, and I want to sell that as a pshat. Miriam, it might be connected. For instance, for Asaf, we have the word Isfuli Chasidai in chapter 50. He asked for a gathering of Am Yisrael. Isfuli Chasidai, it's his name. So you might be right to connect the name to a word, to a term. It's an interesting concept. The association is in place. But I want to stick really to statistical rules. Vayema'en lehinachem, three times in the Bible. Maror, three times the source in the Tanakh. That is a rule. It's a technique of the biblical poetry, which is a very special art which we have to detect. It is pshat. And if we can connect it, if we have a word, Asaf and Yosef Hashem Elechem, Yosef, yeah, it might be because he was called Yosef Asaf Hashem Cherpati. It sounds familiar, it's explained this way, but it's not on the same level of pshat. If we have the same word, that is a pshat connection. So intertextuality is a science. And drush is possible, but it's not on the level of the science. I hope that clarifies a little bit. So let me know, please, whether you think what you think about this chidush. That was a great special pearl. I hope with the playing this dramatic Asaf, I teach a lot with my with costume of King David. And I think it's a very good exercise. I want to encourage you to do the same. It's another level of learning and of teaching, much more adrenaline. I have a lot of fun to find analogies in the text. But if you talk Asaf, if you are King David, it's another experience. So please go for that and feel motivated to be King David. That's what he wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, the Rav Benny. There's one more comment, which is related, I guess, to what you just said, which is from Sarah Weiss. She says, does that mean that the singers were all gingies? You know, that David HaMelech was, so what do you think about Asaf?
I have an answer to you. When I play King David at his lifetime, he was a gingy. But when King David comes up in chapter 86, in the third book, one time. Oh, you have it actually here. You have it here. He comes up in the third book once, 86. He comes two times in the fourth book, chapter 101 and 103. And he comes up in the fifth book, three times, 108 to 110. And afterwards in Shir HaMaalot and eight times, together 18 times. So I have a clear distinction between King David, who is a Jinji, Ki hu admoni yefei nine, and when he comes again in the third and fourth and fifth book, he is not the Jinji anymore. He is the idea of the person of King David, a person who is a legend. He is a prophetic figure from the first temple period, Avel David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. And you might remember in Anatevka, in the Fiddler on the Roof, when he dreams about his mother-in-law and he sees her after 30 years, she doesn't really look the way she looked when she was alive, but she makes still a strong impact on him. And she says after 30 years, considering that she is dead for 30 years, she looked quite okay. And I want you to have the same impression that King David, despite that he is not around for 3,000 years, I think he's quite okay. He has quite a strong message. So ignore whether he has a gingy beard or a white beard. Just stick to his idea, and we are on the same page.
Okay.